Father, we want to thank you right now, great Heavenly Father, for this opportunity once again to study thy word. Thank you for the students. Thank you for the president of the school. Father, we thank you for everyone, for all the teachers and all the instructors right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to pick up where we left off on last week. I need to go back. That's the thing I need to mention. One of the things we talked about, how the promise of God cannot be fulfilled if we don't go far enough in the spirit realm. I think that was a prime example of the apostle getting off into the glory tonight, where you can only get there if your prayer life is to where it needs to be, what allows you to get off into another dimension. You understand that? That's what prayer does. When you get into prayer properly, prayer allows you to hear things, hear what God wants you to hear, see what God wants you to see, and understand properly by faith. I'm going to say it again because God gave me something you need to hear. I said, when you pray in prayer, pray properly, you would hear what God wants you to hear, see what God wants you to see, and understand properly by faith. Now catch that last part. You'll now begin to understand properly by what?
Faith.
We said the primary purpose of prayer is to have an intimate relationship with God, right? All right. Now watch this. The apostle has been talking about the three factors. There is faith, then there's the anointing, and then we move into the what? Glory. So he said we have faith, anointing, which propels you to what? The glory. All right. I'm going to add something to this tonight, because I just gave you the last part that says it helps you, that made the statement that it helps you to hear what God wants you to hear, see what God wants you to see, and understand properly by faith. You cannot have faith unless you have had an intimate relationship with that person to have faith in them. So now understand how this thing goes. We have a prayer life, and when the prayer life is in the proper perspective, now we can have a great prayer, which now propels us to have faith, which leads us to the anointing, which brings the glory. Do you see it? See, you can't just jump straight off into faith. Something has to happen before faith starts. In order for faith to start, there has to be a prayer life. There has to be a communion with God in order for me to get to the level to understand by faith. All right. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, I like watching all kind of different stuff. I like watching Discovery Channel and my little girl, she loved watching the Food Channel, how they make cotton candy and how they do this and how they do that. Interesting little show. But I'm about to give you an example of something that's going to coincide with this scripture tonight, and it blessed me. How many of y'all know, and if you don't know, act like, just say you didn't know, so it make my teaching a little better. How many of y'all, how many of did you know that there's a certain way to eat a banana?
No.
I never knew it either. See, most of the time when we get a banana, we start from the top and we peel it. All right? But they say it's not the proper way to eat a banana. Say, chimps don't eat bananas like that. You start from the bottom. Reason being, if you start from the top, there's always something left at the bottom that you really don't feel like getting, so you just throw the rest of the banana away. So watch what happens. You're not getting the full potential of that banana. You're leaving something. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. So watch this. Watch this now. Luke, wait, before I go to Luke, how many of you know the story about when Jesus was praying and the disciples wanted to know how to pray? How many of y'all know that the Bible said, the disciples told Jesus, Jesus, teach us how to pray. How many of y'all remember that? Raise your hand if you remember that. Say, Lord, teach us how to pray. How many of y'all remember that? Teach us how to pray. Where they go, your banana, you can do something away. Because that's not what the scripture said. Let's look at it. Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11. Verse 1. Let's eat all this banana. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, now watch what he said. Teach us to what?
Pray.
Stop right there. He said, Lord, do what?
Teach us to pray.
There's a difference between teach us how to pray and teach us to pray. Right. See, and if you continue to read, I don't have for lack of time, but if you continue to read this entire chapter here, if you go down, he begins to go and explain about a friend. If you come to your house late and you sleep, he said, but if you just persisted, if that guy persists enough, he gonna have to get up out the bed to bring him a loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. He was talking about prayer. So what happens is, they saw Jesus and all the miracles, they saw Jesus doing a whole bunch of stuff. But they knew the key to him doing it was his prayer life. So what the statement was, Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. Not necessarily in word or what you say in prayer, but to get a prayer life like you have. See, people follow the apostle all over this world, and me always ask in secret, what's your secret? How you do this? How you do that? And it's just one simple thing. Learn how to pray. Learn how to develop a prayer life to have communion with God, because once you develop that communion with God, I just told you something powerful. When you develop that communion, you hear what God wants you to hear. You see what God wants you to see. Now you understand properly now by faith. And now we can go through prayer, faith, the anointing, and then the glory. And that's all Jesus did through those steps. He knew he had to pray. God Almighty. Because that prayer gave him energy. Yeah. That prayer propelled him. That's why whenever Jesus prayed, we're going to look at it. Whenever he prayed, whenever a miracle was performed, whenever he did something great, he didn't just say, hallelujah, Jesus, the man got healed. No, he left, went right back to prayer again. Because he knew, guess what? The enemy coming back again. Yeah. Don't you get excited because you got that victory. You need to go right back in prayer because he's coming back. Yeah. When we start dealing with prayer, watch this statement. I'm going to repeat this again. The world gets the best of our time while prayer gets our leftovers. The world gets the best of our time while prayer gets all the leftovers. We give our time to everything. Now, I love sporting events, but we give our time to LSU, to Southern, to Nickel State, whoever you follow. We give our time to work, to overtime. We give our time to kids' sports. We give our time to grocery shop. We give our time to go to the gym. And then we lay in bed, well, I guess I'll pray. And then you're half sleeping, you're doing that. Yeah. You take your good shower, you lotion up, lay there. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You're so good, Jesus. Been there? We give God our leftovers. In prayer, the thing that's going to propel us to go to the next level, we give less attention to. We give our strength and freshness to the ways of mammon and our tiredness to the ways of God. We give our strength and freshness to the ways of mammon and our tiredness and time to the ways of God. Go to Romans 8. Verse 32. Somebody say prayer works.
Prayer works.
Romans 8:32. Look what it says. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us what? All things. Give us what?
All things.
Now, listen to this. If the Lord did not refuse to listen to my voice when I was a guiltless sinner and an enemy of God, How can he disregard my cry now that I'm justified and saved? See, he heard, you know, I hear that song, Lord. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. That's old Baptist hymn there. Come, you know, so whatever. If the Lord had heard my voice, he said, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Now, if the Lord would hear my cry when I was in that predicament, what you think God gonna do when I'm justified and saved? When I got the blood, when I'm under his grace, when I'm under his mercy. But the problem is we ain't praying. The streaming wounds of Jesus are the sure guarantees for answered prayers. Because Jesus bore his stripes, because he shed his blood, you guaranteed to get an answer in prayer. Man, come on now. There's no reason you cannot get an answer to whatever you're praying for because Jesus bore them stripes on that cross. When he shed his blood, that gave me a right to every prayer that I need answered. What I can't have? There's nothing I can't have because of what he did. Our experiences lead us to believe that God would answer prayer. Our experience leads us to believe that God will answer prayer. There are some things that God has brought you out that ought to let you know that God will answer your prayer. Come on now, testify with me, y'all. There are some things, situations that you have been in your life that you know only God got you out. So I need to take the attitude that now in prayer that he got me out of that. I know he'll get me out of this. Because that's the kind of God we serve. I've experienced him before. Praying breath is never spent in vain. Praying breath. When you pray, that breath, those words leave your mouth is never spent in vain. Which leads me to what the book beginner talks about. It says that prayer and communion with God at times feel like eating cereal without milk. See, because sometimes when you pray, it seems like you're doing it in vain. Remember I told you we're looking for that thunder, we're looking for that lightning, we were waiting for the chair to come out the sky, you know, and all that, so it seemed like ain't nothing happening. So it seemed like, cereal just nasty. You might dry like, babies like dry cereal, but I got to have some milk in my cereal. You know, babies eat out the cup all day, they just love it. But I want some milk. God Almighty. Let's look at this now. Let's get off to the meat of this thing. Go to Luke 10. We're still dealing with the intimate communion with God in prayer. And we're going to look at a very familiar story. Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. And it started, he said, now it happened as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into what? Her house. Stop right underline that, in her house. She welcomed him where? Her house represents the flesh. Notice Martha didn't welcome Jesus into her heart, but into her what? Her house. That's why many of us not seeing God as we should, because we got him in our house, but not in our heart. Yes, sir. You got a picture of Jesus on the cross over your mantle in your house, but you don't have him in your heart. You got a Bible sitting on the desk with dust on it. He in your house, but he's not in your heart. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was what they say, the Bible says, Martha was distracted. I like that word. The word distracted means to be absorbed or going around in circles. Y'all know the old song, you got me going in circles. In other words, you got me distracted. You got me absorbed. Come on now. See, one of the key things the enemy wants to do, especially when it comes to prayer, is to distract you. Because if I can distract you, I can get you off course. I can get your mind thinking about something else. You ever notice how right you make your mind up, Lord, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home. I'm going to pray. I'm going to turn this TV on. I'm not watching no news. I'm just going to ride in this car. I'm going to meditate. And as soon as you get in your car, get ready to meditate. Somebody blowing at you. The cell phone. Anybody call you all day? Phone just start ringing. Now the kids got to go to Walmart. They got a school project. I got to do it tomorrow. Just something just want to distract you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Just crazy stuff. Your wife said she was going to do lasagna. You get home, she did baked chicken. Now you mad. I thought she said lasagna. See, you got you had a taste for it, but all the devil tried to do is just distract you. Now get some uproar up in the house. You ought to be glad she cooked something. Jesus. He's just trying to distract you, man. See, we must understand that serving God is important, but not the way that Martha does it, where service comes before our relationship with God. I had the opportunity, I thank God. God has brought me, I shared with the second students, God has brought me through a whole lot of different things, and I thank God for all experience. I grew up in the, my mom's dad was United Methodist. I had to go to his church on second Sunday. My dad was Southern Baptist. I had to go to his church on first Sunday. My mom was Church of God in Christ. I went on Sunday nights at 6 p.m., didn't leave that at 9 o'clock. My dad's dad was AME up in Black Creek in Greensburg. Had to go there once every other month. And then I got to school. I thought I was in love with a girl, so I converted to Catholic. I went through catechism. I had a sponsor. I went Catholic. I went to, I ain't going to say the name of church. But I got me a sponsor. I went there, had a whole communion. I know the Rosary, the Father, everything. I mean, I went through the whole process. Had my first communion, everything. Because, I wanted her, so I went to Catholic church. I'm just being honest. So, what I'm talking about? I don't know, Lord. I went through it all. I went through the whole process of all different kind of things and a whole bunch of crazy stuff. Lord will bring it back to me. I forgot. I was going to make a point. But Martha got caught up in trying to serve. Oh, that's what it was. So I was in the Baptist church, and I never forget, I had an opportunity to go to a meeting with one of the pastors I was under at the time, and they had a meeting. And he said, well, let us pray so we can get some stuff situated. And the woman said, we don't need to pray. The Bible ain't got nothing to do with this. So my point I'm trying to tell you, some people have a concept of wanting to serve God in different entities without having a relationship with him. Some people want to have more board meetings than they want to have prayer. Some people want to have more food banks and all kind of stuff. You say food bank, clothes driving, fish dinner, they ready to go. But when you say prayer or fast or meditate or read the word of God, you crazy. See, because they're so kind of, they ain't Martha, they into serving. You mean, what you mean? Don't you mean come to school and hear the apostle teach? What that do? That change your life. Yeah. All alumni need to be back here on Tuesday night hearing the man of God teach. Yeah. If you want your ministry to propel, if you want your life to propel, see, but that's how you can tell who caught up in the word, who caught up in their serving. That's right. Yeah. Some of y'all got pastors here right now. I know for a fact, if he know the pastor is teaching and he didn't know he's teaching, your Bible study over, cuz. Yeah. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. Yeah. I ain't saying no name. Yeah. See, boy, look, that's how we got to be. That's the kind of relationship that when God say move, we got to move. Right. So if we do it for a man, how much more you do for God? All right? He said, God's love is great towards that person. But what God will do, he will discipline and correct us. One of the hardest things for me was I had to be broken years ago when I first got connected to this ministry. It was very, I didn't, because I came out of this, I didn't know. if you're not careful, you would think the apostle don't like you. You think he rude to you. You think he mean. But his discipline and his correctness only comes out of his love towards you. I'm going to tell y'all a secret. I'm going to tell y'all a secret. If the apostle don't correct you, you ought to go ahead and leave. See, if you love your child, you correct them, right? See, if you love somebody, you'll tell them, look, I wouldn't go that direction if I was you. I done been this way before. Don't do that. You understand what I'm saying? And that's how God is. God will love us. He has to correct us and discipline us sometimes. You see me? All right. I've had the opportunity to, over the last, since 97, to work in law enforcement, all different entities, drug task force, whatever, all kind of stuff. And I loved working narcotics because you get to deal with all kind of people. Yeah. Some of them you think bad, not really bad, just make stupid decisions. But then they got some, they just straight evil. All right? It's not funny, but I'm going to bring it to the word. How many of y'all know there's a difference between a person on drugs and an addict? All right? Person on drugs, they call them functional. They can be lawyers, doctors, have surgery on you. You would never know it. Because they recreational. They may do it a part of whatever, however they do it. But then they got some folk that's addicts. An addict will steal their own house to get a hit. Y'all know how an addict is. Y'all saw Do the Right Thing with Gator. Mama. An addict will sell his socks. He will sell his toenails. He want a hit while he at work. He want a hit while he at church. He's just an addict. He got to have it, man. An addict, say this with me, an addict just got to have it. And he's going to do whatever he needs to do to get it. He don't care if he got to steal from his wife, his mama, his children. It don't matter. I got to have me a hit. They said what happened with a drug addict, they say when they get a hit the first time, it's something, I can't use all the scientific term, but something happens in the central form of the brain where it gives them a high. So, and the high is like so, like, just out this world. So from that point on, they always trying to find that first high like they had the first time. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, they chasing it. Because they got to get a hit. Somebody say they got to get a hit. Because they addicted to that drug. I'm about to tell y'all something. I'm about to tell y'all something. That's how we got to be in prayer communion with God. We got to get addicted to prayer. We got to get addicted to the presence of God in our home. We got to get addicted to the presence of God on our job. Man, I need a hit right now, boy. Woo, Jesus. Lift your hands in here and say, God, give me a hit right now. Pour the glory up in this place. Hey, I need a hit, Lord. Yes, sir. I need a hit in my family right now. I need a hit in my finances right now. I need a hit in my body right now, Lord. Lord, I need a hit. Oh, good God. Hey! 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 Oh, I ain't crazy. I learned that when he hit, get out of the way. I ain't got nothing to say. He hit somebody, so I let him hit. Somebody getting high. Woo! Lord, come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Sit down. I know you're high, but sit down. Have a seat. Oh, Lord Jesus. They ain't got nothing on our high. Ooh, they can get this high. They'll never want nothing else, boy. Oh, God, have mercy. Yeah. They say they think that synthetic weed bad. Come on this side. It's real. This ain't synthetic. Go to Luke 17. Luke 17. I'm telling you, man, once you get addicted to God's presence, you won't want nothing else. Oh, man. Luke 17. Verse 12. Luke 17, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there he met him ten men that were lepers, which stood off afar. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on him. And when they saw him, they said to him, go show yourself to the priest. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud, glorious voice and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were not there 10 cleansed, but now there are 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. Save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Listen to me. This is the description where I believe the apostle is trying to get the church to turn away from. They wanted the benefits and the blessing, but didn't want fellowship, communion, or relationship. They got blessed, but didn't turn around like the one to give God praise. The one that turned around, watch this here, he wanted to have communion with Jesus. He wanted a relationship. The other one just got their blessing, kept going. But I noticed something about this scripture. This is what prayer do for you. In the end of that scripture, verse 18, it says, 19, and he said to them, arise, go thy way, for thy faith, whoo, Jesus. Hold up now, hold up, Lord, I see it. Your faith has made you what?
Oh.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to see this one. I believe that once prayer is in its proper place, faith kicks in, the anointing takes over, but glory superseded all. I believe if you got off in the glory and got healed and didn't get back in a posture of prayer to keep your faith going again, you'll lose that healing. The apostle said it. He talks about it if you don't testify about it. All right? But I see now, because they didn't come back and give him praise, and I believe their prayer life, what they didn't go back and pray. Because he made a statement, go thy way, thy faith has made you whole. In other words, because you came back, you ain't got to worry about this problem no more. I believe the other 9 got healing, but I believe they lost it. Because they wasn't in, they wasn't in communion with Jesus. They just wanted the blessing. See, you can come here and get your healing, the word of life, but if you're not in communion or connected with the apostle properly, you'll lose it. Especially if you leave here and don't have a prayer life. I believe you come here and you don't belong here, or if you're not a member of something, and you get a healing, you go back and you keep that prayer life going, you'll be made whole. You'll stay whole. You'll stay complete. But I believe if you get out of that prayer, oh Lord Jesus, you'll revert back to that same situation. I'm going to go over it quickly and talk about it for a second. Where did Jesus pray? When did Jesus pray? Jesus prayed in the morning. Jesus prayed at night. Jesus prayed in the afternoon. Well, Jesus prayed all night long. I'm not going to say it. to Matthew 6. We just want to validate a lot of things with Scripture so you have a reference point. For your note purposes, I'm going to go to Matthew 6, but for your notes purposes, in your book, Matthew 14, 23 says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was there all alone there. Matthew 6, verse 7 says this. Not 6, 7, just yet, but keep your finger there. Notice that every time Jesus prayed, he was alone. This demonstrates that prayer is something personal with God. Which leads me to verse 6 and 7. Because we grew up in, I grew up in a culture where you had to pray a certain way. And if you didn't pray that way, it would really make you afraid to pray. You know, some of them boys sound good, boy, they'll sing a prayer. Yeah, they would. But then the Bible says this, watch this, verse 7, Matthew 6 and 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. you see that? See, a lot of times we thought prayer, and many people, different denominations now, they have prayer, but the prayer is really designed for people to hear you. Prayer has nothing to do with this service, has nothing to do with what we're really going on. It's about me exalting myself and see how good I sound and how good the Hammond B3 can go with me when I'm praying. And I'm just being real. The apostle said the thing tonight, they're talking about we got to a place where we be entertained so much. We've been entertained so much that, you know, I know some, Lord Jesus, I do it. I ain't scared. I'm with the apostle. You got some preachers, when they pray, you know, they even got codes to them just when they praying. They get to a certain place, Father in heaven, G-flat, give me some. What? I mean, they tell the drummer when to hit and stuff, man. I ain't the only one up in here. I ain't the only one that been in that church. Yeah. Well, the pastor, when he praying, he tell him what key to get in so he can pray. That's not prayer. Prayer, watch this here, demonstrates that prayer is something personal with God. They have a scripture I'm probably going to get to it later on that talks about praying in your closet. Say, if you pray, when you pray in your closet, he say, I reward you openly. Listen to me. Many people, we say it, Lord? Many people think promotion comes publicly, but promotion is really given privately. You really want to see a person get promoted, and when they start getting promoted, I can go back to show you how much that person prayed and communed with God in a private time. Yes, sir. Don't you think you see these great men of God, your pastor or apostle or your pastor, don't you think just God just willy-nilly just throwing out stuff to them because, hey, I ain't got nothing to do today? No, these men of God have communion with God. Yeah. Dad just said it earlier, and he's not a respected person. Just like he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Yeah. But we have to develop a prayer life. Say, I must develop a prayer life. All right? We must live daily. We must live in a daily communion with the Father. We must live in a daily communion with the Father. Just like you get up every morning, I hope when you wash your face, you got to get up every morning and get in God's presence. Just like every day, you know, you brush your teeth, every day you got to get in God's presence. Do you feel me? Let's look at that. There are three benefits of having a close relationship with God. You're going to hear that again. There are three benefits of having a close relationship with God. Number one, you will have peace. You have what?
Peace.
Job 22:21. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at what? Peace. Thereby good will come to you. Now I like that first word that says there. Job 22 and 21. The first word is now. I think I'm going to finish up this evening. I'm going to dig right here for 1 second. He said, now. Now acquaint yourself. What you mean, now acquaint yourself? Now acquaint yourself. You've tried everything else. You tried talking to your friend. You tried listening to Oprah. You tried reading the magazine. You heard that fool on Hip Hop of Atlanta. You tried their advice. He said, but now. Come on now. You've tried everything. Y'all know how we do that. We try everything. We try out with our own strength, our own power, our own might. Then God say, you had enough? Yeah, Lord, I give up. Now acquaint yourself with me. And when you acquaint yourself with me, he said, now you're going to be at peace, and now good will come to you. But you got to make up your mind to just loose it and let it go. And acquaint yourself with God and have a safe ride home. Amen. Stay tuned to next week. That's it, man. I'm off, right?